650, 1320 WILS. Well, over the weekend, North Korea test launched an intermediate range ballistic missile. Now we're trying to figure out how to respond. China and Russia have already condemned this. Donald Trump says he's 100% behind the Japanese who are upset. Michael Oslin with us. He's a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, an expert in the entire region. His latest book is The End of the Asian Century, War Stagnation and the Risks to the World's Most Dynamic Region. Michael, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, the risks, where does North Korea rank on the risk list?
Well, you know, it's an interesting and hard question. On the face of it, it looks like the greatest risk we have in Asia. It is a totalitarian, aggressive hermit regime that is developing nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles. On the other hand, the one thing we've learned from dealing with North Korea over the decades is that this regime wants nothing more than to survive. So there is a rationality to what they do, that they push and blackmail and threaten, but they never cross the line. So what I think most people are more worried about is the fact that there may be an accident or a miscalculation, or that this regime just sort of loses control of itself in some way, and that forces us into a war.
So, and what was the message to us by test firing this missile over the weekend? What are they trying to tell us?
Well, look, they've been doing it for years now. I think in part they're doing it because they have to do it to figure out, can these things work? And you know, we've failed completely in deterring them from doing so. So part of it is they do what these what countries that have these capabilities do, which is test these things off and then learn from them to make them better. Mm-hmm. That's bad news for us. But it was clearly a message as well to President Trump, as it was a message to President Obama before him, which was there's really nothing you can do about this. There's nothing you're going to do. That's what they basically bet on. And so they're willing to tweak his, you know, tweak his tail, because it was just a few weeks before that he stated that they're not going to get this capability under his watch and that he's going to stop them. So now they've thrown down the gauntlet, but in a way that doesn't mean war. It means, look what we're doing. We've been doing it. We've been going at it for a decade. You're not stopping us now.
Mm-hmm. Are they afraid of us, of President Trump?
Well, I think they're afraid of the United States for sure. I mean, they know that if they cross the line, we can end that regime in relatively little time. It would be bloody, and it would be a full war. But there is no one, I think, who questions that the North Koreans ultimately would lose.
Would they fire off their nuclear weapons in a conflict?
So that's the real question. If they felt that they had nothing left to lose, then yeah, they could. If the army turned on them, their own army turned on them and took control away, then, you know, it all depends on how quickly it goes. And the other element, too, is the Chinese. They can come in and jump in on this in a way that would prevent the North Koreans potentially from firing off those weapons, not because the Chinese want to help us, but because they don't want to see us take over that part of the country so close to them.
So China condemned this rocket launch. So does North Korea really care what China thinks?
I don't think they care anymore. They care to the extent that they figured out China is still willing to put up with all of their shenanigans because they're a thorn in our side, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. I don't think China likes them having nuclear weapons. We definitely know China doesn't like them executing their agents inside of North Korea, which is what the new leader did. But I think the North Koreans are very savvy. They've read the Chinese pretty clearly, because the Chinese have not done anything really to make life difficult for this regime, which they could.
So, by the way, Michael Oslin with us, resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. His latest book, he's an award-winning author, by the way, his latest book, The End of the Asian Century. So if we don't pressure North Korea or confront them, what's going to end up happening?
Well, you know, we are stuck with the nuclear North Korea. We really don't want to admit it. It's a failure of both Democratic and Republican administrations alike. They've calculated over the years that we are not serious about trying to push regime change or other things that could cause the toppling of the Kim family. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things we can do. It gets harder over time to do it, but there can be much more targeted financial sanctions that get right at the family's money. There is working more closely with allies to help build up their capabilities in ballistic missile defense and the like. We do that, but we can do more of it.
Now, do our allies like Japan, do they actually want us to try to topple the regime, or do they view that as a risk?
That's an excellent question. No one wants to live with this regime. They are worried about what might come after it and the chaos. I don't think the Chinese are particularly worried about the chaos. They use that to keep us from doing anything that could cause the regime to fall. You know, the Chinese control a billion of their own people. I don't think they're worried about a few million starving North Koreans. But the Japanese and Koreans, the South Koreans, are very worried, particularly the South Koreans. It's their country, their peninsula. They don't want this to be a bloody battle, but they also don't want this regime to last forever. The bottom line is there are no good options with North Korea, and there haven't been for a number of years.
Okay. So that leaves us with what? I mean, do you think we'll see within our lifetime that regime fall?
Yeah, we've been waiting a quarter century. There were people back in the Clinton era talking about how that regime was going to fall back in the early 1990s, and here we are 25 years later. So I don't think we can bet on it. The North Korean population is utterly controlled by the regime. They're starved by the regime. Very difficult for them to mount a resistance. And the less that we pressure this regime, the more that they stay in power.
Now, does Donald Trump, does he strike you as the kind of president that would take it to the next level and really face off with the North Koreans?
I think he strikes me as a president who may be more willing to look at serious sanctions against both the North Koreans and some of their enablers, including the Chinese. I think he doesn't like being played for a fool, and that's what other presidents have been played for a fool by the North Koreans, including George Bush, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama. So I think there is that chance that he's going to get more serious. Does that make a difference? We don't know yet.
Well, you're talking about sanctions, but it seems like the people there take the brunt of it and that their leaders seem to do okay. What would that really do, sanctions?
Well, the sanctions that worked the best in the mid-2000s, about a decade ago, were focused directly at the sources of income from the family. So they're banking assets abroad, things like that. That's what we should be targeting. You're right, not the Korean people. But there's other things that we can be doing. Look, they counterfeit money around the world. They run drugs. They run illicit cigarettes. This is a mafia regime, and there's a lot of things that we could be more serious to interdict and stop them from getting the hard cash. We just haven't haven't been serious about coming up with ways that make sense.
You say at this point they're just like flexing their muscles, but there could be a miscalculation, an accident. What would that look like? What do you imagine happening there?
Well, the easiest thing to imagine is that they do a missile launch that goes horribly wrong and lands in Seoul or lands in Tokyo or other parts of South Korea and Japan. Mm-hmm. It would be very hard to restrain South Korea in that case, and Japan would demand some type of action. This is also a regime that continually tests the resolve of its opponents. And so it bombed South Korean territory and sank a naval ship both 7 years ago. It's kidnapped Japanese citizens off of their own homeland. They could do something like that. And then finally, these other countries say, you know what, we're not standing for it anymore. Certainly the South Koreans would be better placed, and decide to fight back. And then it's a question of what do we back them up because they're our allies, or do we try to restrain them?
Yeah. Does it, about 45 seconds here, but does it feel like sometimes that we're dealing with someone that has nothing to lose?
No, I think we're dealing with someone who feels like they have everything to lose. And that's why I think they have not gone that full route, which would invite the response. All they want to do is survive, but what they do is make life miserable and difficult for all of us around them.
Michael Auslan, the American Enterprise Institute, his latest book, The End of the Asian Century, War, Stagnation, and the Risks to the World's Most Dynamic Region. Michael Auslan here on WILS. Michael, thank you very much.
Thank you for taking time with me.
Yep, enjoyed it. And that is it for us. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Mike Peterson. We'll be right back here tomorrow at 6 p.m. on 1320 WILS. Good night.